morning. It's good to see all of you out this morning, and truly we can rejoice for the Lord's goodness. He is faithful, and hope that your hearts are prepared this morning to worship Him, to give Him the glory. If you'll take your bulletins, we want to just have a few notes as far as announcements are concerned. We are going to have a deacons meeting at about 5:15 before the evening service, 5:15, so if the deacons would come here at that time. And then we have our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. We have Bible studies on Tuesday at 7 o'clock here at the church, both for the men and the women. And then also we have our Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday. I have several birthdays there. Take note of those. And then also notice Thanksgiving dinner. And it's hard to believe Thanksgiving is almost here. And here at the church we have an annual Thanksgiving dinner, and that's going to be Sunday, November 21st. And it's going to be directly after the AM service. And so if you look on the back bulletin board out in the vestibule, there are sign-up sheets there. And so if you want to go ahead and take a look at that, the church will provide the turkey and the ham. And then you'll notice sign-up sheets as far as the number of attendance and then things that you can bring too. And also on that day, we're planning on having an afternoon service directly after dinner. And then we won't have our regular evening service. And so that's the plan for Thanksgiving. Truly, we have so much to be thankful for. And then also, Wednesday night, November 10th, that's this coming Wednesday, we'll be having a special business meeting, and we'll be voting on the proposed bylaws, and then also the Articles of Incorporation, amendments to those. And there are copies that have been distributed to the members, and also a copy on the back bulletin board. And by way of note, this evening we'll be having a basic overview of some of the proposed changes, kind of highlighting some of those, and also an opportunity for questions. And so be sure to come this evening so that you can be cognizant, knowledgeable concerning those things. And then also, during the month of November, we're collecting items for the Alpha Women's Center, and mainly focusing in on diapers and baby wipes, as well as baby clothing. And so there's a back bin on the back pew there. There's a tote. And so go ahead and bring those things and put them in that tote, and we can be a great blessing to the women there at Alpha Women's Center. I think that's all of our announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly do worship You and praise You this morning, because we realize who You are, that You are Almighty God, and that You are holy beyond compare. I thank You that You are a loving God. Thank You that even though we're miserable sinners, even though we deserve eternal punishment, thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And I thank You that Jesus Christ, yes, He died for us, but He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again victorious on the third day. And I thank You for the gospel, that whoever believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow. And I do thank You personally that You have worked in my heart so that I might believe on Jesus Christ. And I thank You for the new life You have given me. And I thank You for how You've worked in so many different ones' lives, and how You've changed them, how You've changed them from being children of the devil and changed them to children of God. And so I do praise You for that salvation and for the privilege of serving You. I thank You that now that we're saved, we can live a life that is pleasing to You. And so I do pray that You'd even help us from day to day to become more and more like You, to be more holy and more loving. And even as we'll be seeing this morning, I thank You that You are a God who answers prayer, and You desire us to pray. And so I even do pray, yes, for myself, that I would continually be growing to be more like Christ. And I do pray for each and every one here this morning who is a believer, that they would be growing spiritually, that they would have that desire to know You more, that desire to live for You wholeheartedly. And so I do pray even for other needs as well. And there are many physical needs, many ailments. I even do think of Eva this morning as she's feeling under the weather. I do pray that You'd help her get better soon. I do think of others too. If I think of Chuck and Karen Randalls, we continue to pray for them. And I do even pray for the Burkhart family as they continue, I'm sure, missing Bob. And I do pray for Maud specifically. But I thank You that You are a God who comforts as well. I thank You for the blessed hope that we read about in 1 Thessalonians, that one day we'll be raptured up. The dead will be raised incorruptible, and those who are alive at that time will be changed in a glorious way, and will forever be with the Lord. So we do thank you for your word, the many promises that you give to us there, and for the hope that we have in you. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Good morning. Missed you all last week. Our prayers are with you, though. Let's begin this morning by opening our songbooks to number 66. To God be the glory. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Is there any other way?
No,
there's not. Amen to that. Let's go ahead and have a seat. And I believe we have scripture reading then.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verses 3 through 12. Colossians chapter 1. And verses 3 through 12. We give thanks to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12.
I'm sure you noticed that Pastor's been preaching much on prayer. I think it's going to be the fourth week in a row now. And we only have a handful of hymns in our hymn book that talk about prayer, and we exhausted those after the first week. But our purpose then, we thought we would sing songs that we have a plethora of, which is many, songs in our hymnals that we know of speaking of who God is. And so we have chosen songs like that because we have, as I've said before, an object of prayer, and that is God. And so, as we talk about the fact that we should be praying, having a healthy prayer life, we want to have in our minds the object to whom we are praying. And think about this. We just talked about that Jesus is the only way to come to the Father, which is what the Bible says is true. It's what we believe. It's why we're here. But how do we get to know Jesus? How do you get to know each other? Well, we gather together, we talk to each other, we get to know each other, we speak to one another. And you and I know this already, but prayer is the way that we speak to God. We know that already, but how often do we do it? How often? We take the time, we come here on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and on Wednesday evenings and often other times as well, and we get to know each other. We're a part of this body. But how often do we come to Christ? How often do we come to God in prayer to get to know Him, to talk to Him, to hear from Him? You know, we all know that. But do we do it? Do we come to Him with the purpose of getting to know Him better? And then, just like as we get to know each other, we pick up traits from each other and become that more like each other. Do we then become more like God as we get to know Him, as we spend time with Him? Something to think about. That was for free. Let's sing 404, The Solid Rock. 494. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Him holy, find him holy true. And I would invite anybody who has not found that to be the truth to speak up at any time, and we can talk about that. Let's take our morning offering. Dave, would you pray for the offering, please?
Good morning, Father. We're just thankful for salvation through Christ, and Father, we're able to come into His presence at any time, pray to Him, Father. And Father, we're just thankful for every good thing that You give to us and how You supply for us, both as a people and as a church. And we pray as we take up this offering now, You might use it to Your honor and glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
of my soul. Inside the flap of your covers, you should find Before the Throne of God Above. This is our weekly hymn. Great words, great message, and a great tune, too. Makes it all good. So let's sing Before the Throne of God Above. Is hid with Christ on high, we are able to sing, I love you, Lord. Turn to page 80, number 80. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Worship His name and praise Him for bringing us together to be able to do that as a body. You can go ahead and have a seat.
Amen. The children can be dismissed to children's church. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have loved us. and how you have showed that love in such a wonderful and a magnificent way in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that it is only because you have loved us that we in turn are able to love you. And so even as we look at your word this morning and we just are amazed at all that you have done, and truly we are so grateful for the privilege that we have to pray to you, to just converse. Thank you that the veil has been torn in two, that through Jesus Christ we have direct access to you, Heavenly Father. And so we do thank you for that, and for the privilege, not only for praying for our own needs, but also praying for one another. And so I do pray that we would be men and women of prayer. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer. You've been hearing that word a lot here lately. For the past month or so, we've really been focusing in on prayer. And you know what? We could spend probably a whole year just considering prayer. And it's so important, and it's all throughout the Scriptures. The necessity of prayer. Now, it cannot be denied that prayer is absolutely essential to the born-again believer's spiritual life. It is absolutely essential. And I don't think anyone here this morning, I don't think any Christian, if they're thinking straight, I don't think anyone could say that prayer is unimportant, that it just doesn't matter. I don't think anyone here this morning would say that. We would all say prayer is absolutely essential to our well-being, to our spiritual welfare, to our fellowship with God. Well, we say it's something that we need to devote our time to. We need to be serious about this, not only individually, but corporately as a body of believers. We need to be watchful in our prayers. We need to be serious about this. But yet, the things that we say and the things that we do, they don't always go hand in hand, do they? Because a lot of times we say things, and we really believe what we're saying. We say prayer is important, you know. And if something is important, if we are serious about, you know, this is what I believe and this is what I say, well, then you would think naturally we would be doing it, right? But although all of us would say prayer is absolutely essential to our spiritual life, does it follow through that we necessarily pray like we should? And I think there can be a divide between what we say and think and what we believe and what we actually do. And that's so true with so many areas of our life. But it's absolutely essential. Why is it that all too often we push prayer back into the back corner? Okay, well, we say it's important, but whenever it gets down to the busyness of life, well, we have this and this and this and this to do. I have to do all these things, and then prayer gets kind of pushed off to the side. You know, I don't have time to prayer, to spend time in prayer. We just put it on that back burner. And so we question ourselves as we really examine ourselves, is prayer really that important? We say it is, but in our practice, does it show itself to be important and essential to our lives? Now last week, if you were here last week, we talked about a balanced and a healthy prayer life. We made the comparison, if you remember. We talked about meals and what we eat, okay? And we realized, well, the government has their nice little pyramid, and they say, well, you need to vary your veggies, and you need to focus on the whole grains, and you need to stay away from so much of the sweets and the oils and all that, okay? You know, we realize it's important to have a healthy and a balanced meal, okay, as far as what we eat, our fruits and vegetables, our whole grains, our meats and our milk, and all those things. We realize that. And it's true also in our spiritual lives. As we look at the Scriptures, we need to be reading the full counsel of God. We need to be reading the whole Scriptures, not just certain parts. Although we realize, yeah, we need to focus in on the New Testament. But the same is true with our prayer lives as well. You know, our prayer lives should be composed of various elements. Okay, oftentimes whenever we think of prayer, we think, well, this is what I need, Lord. Okay, and a lot of times, give me this, Lord, and give me that. That's what it is. So often, but yet we realize we need to have a diverse prayer life. Okay, whenever we pray to God, we need to be worshiping Him and praising Him, giving Him thanks. Okay, we recognize who God is and what He has done for us. We need to praise and worship God whenever we pray to Him. But not only that, we need to ask Him, Lord, I pray that Your will would be done. I pray that Your name would be set apart. Okay, Lord, do Your work in me and do Your work in my friends, other believers, as well as the lost world. Do Your work in them. We need to be praying also, yes, for our daily needs. That's one aspect of prayer. But also, what else should we be praying concerning? We need to confess our sins. That's essential, that the believer confesses his or her sins. We need to be praying for spiritual guidance, for protection. You know, so we realize prayer isn't just one type of thing. Okay, it's made up of multiple aspects or parts. And we really don't want to neglect one aspect over another. You know, we need to have all aspects as we pray. But yeah, we can emphasize certain ones at certain times. And truly, as we'll see this morning, the spiritual aspects of our prayer, we need to really give that a huge priority as far as asking God, do a work in my life, make me more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We need to be praying for that as for others as well. I pray that you'd open the spiritual eyes of others, that they would realize who you are and what you can do in their life and have that desire to live for you. And so last week, if you remember, we looked at an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he taught concerning prayer. He taught the disciples. And we looked at what is often called the Lord's Prayer. But yet, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord's teaching for the disciples. Okay? We could call it the disciples' prayer. And the Lord gave good instructions to the disciples. And we learned much from that. But this morning, we're going to focus in on the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul was a man used greatly by God. He was a man of God, and he was a man that realized prayer is absolutely essential. And we're going to look at several passages this morning, trying to get a picture of what the Apostle Paul's prayer life was like. And we're going to be getting some finger exercises this morning, because we're going to be going passage after passage, and we're really going to see firsthand, this was what was on Paul's heart as he prayed. Okay, that's what our goal is this morning. Now, we realize, as we go through these passages, we could really preach a sermon on each passage if we wanted to, but we're just trying to get a broad picture. This is where the Apostle Paul's heart was whenever he prayed. That's what our goal is this morning. And so we're going to start this morning by going to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Oftentimes, as we read Paul's letters to other churches, oftentimes at the beginning of that letter, he would voice a prayer. He would tell them how much he was praying for them. He would tell them what he was praying. And we want to look at several of these as we go through the epistles of Paul. So often Paul would say, I pray for you constantly. I pray for you always. And it was just showing how much Paul cared deeply for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And so how did Paul pray for the Roman church? We come to Romans chapter 1 and verses 9 through 12. What does he say here? For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Notice that in verse 9, what does Paul say? He says, I pray without ceasing for you. And he makes mention of them always in his prayers. Okay, we'll see this time and time again. Paul was a man of prayer. We read in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. That's an instruction to all of us. That's an admonition. And we find Paul living that out in his own prayer life. He prayed without ceasing for his fellow believers. He prayed always. But not only that, we notice who is Paul praying for here? He's praying for the believers in Rome. Okay, had Paul ever seen the church in Rome? He had never been to Rome. Now, he probably knew several of the believers there, no doubt about that. But he's praying for people that some of them he had never seen before. He had never been there face to face to see some of these believers. But yet he prayed for them constantly. And Paul wanted to go and see them because Paul had a heart for them and for their spiritual growth. He wanted to encourage them, establish them in their Christian walk. And on the other hand, he wanted to be encouraged by them. And so you see Paul's heartbeat, first off anyway, he wanted to go see these believers because he wanted to be establishing them in the faith, and he wanted to also be encouraged by them. We come to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. and verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 4 through 9. What does Paul say in verse 4? I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you are enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice once again, what does Paul do? He thanks God continually for these Corinthian believers. He was praising God that He had showered His grace upon them. What does he say about the Corinthians? God had given them spiritual gifts that abounded. They came short in no gift. And we realize, even though that the Corinthians, they weren't perfect Christians by any means, but yet Paul still praised the Lord that God was working in their life, that He had showered them with so many blessings. Paul thanked God for His mercy and His grace that worked greatly within the Corinthians. We come to Ephesians now. There's a couple of passages in Ephesians that we really want to highlight here. Ephesians chapter 1, first of all. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 21. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Once again, what do we notice there in verse 16? What does Paul say there? He didn't cease giving thanks for the Ephesian believers. Do you think that was something that Paul was concerned about as far as his prayers? Yeah, Paul was unceasingly praying for the believers that he knew, and even for some of them that he didn't know. But then notice what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, even as he prayed unceasingly for them. He prayed that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. He prayed that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what the hope of God's calling is. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What is the greatness of God's power toward us who believe? And so what was Paul's desire? What was he asking God concerning these Ephesian believers? He was praying that the Ephesians would know God. That they would know Him fully in all of His splendor and all of His glory. He wanted them to know who God was, what God had done, what God had given to them, what was at their disposal. He wanted them to see not just with their physical eyes, but with their spiritual eyes. He wanted them to realize that God had given them so much. They had an inheritance that was so much better than anything here on earth. They had a heavenly inheritance. Paul wanted the Ephesians to know about the awesome power of God. It was the same power that worked in them that worked whenever Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Isn't that incredible as we consider that? Paul realized all the spiritual blessings that God gives to His children. And Paul, knowing that, prayed that the Ephesians would realize all of the blessings that God has showered upon them and that they really need to take advantage of that. They need to devote themselves to know God. That they would have that desire and that burden to know Him, to fully understand all that they had in Jesus Christ. Now we come over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, we look first of all at verses 8 and 9 to give us a little bit of context here. To me, this is Paul speaking, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. And then we flip on down to verse 13. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Okay, so Paul was saying, I've been called by God to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because I faithfully preached the gospel, I have encountered hardships and persecutions. But Paul says, don't lose heart because I'm doing what God has called me to do. Don't be losing heart because I'm enduring hard times. He says in verse 14 now, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What did Paul pray for the Ephesians? Look at verse 16. That they might be strengthened with might in the inner man through God's Spirit. It's so easy in the Christian life to become discouraged, to become disheartened, to say, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. But what did Paul pray to God for the Ephesians for? He prayed that they might be strengthened in the inner man through Jesus Christ. It's God's Spirit that works in us. What else did he pray? He prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. He prayed that they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they might fully know the love of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding. And all of this, Paul was asking God so that He might be glorified, so that God might be praised and glorified. We've looked at several passages, and have you gotten a feel for where the Apostle Paul was at, what he prayed for concerning his fellow believers in Jesus Christ? I think as we look at these passages, it comes through loud and clear. Paul had a heart for his brothers and sisters in Christ that they might grow spiritually, that they might know God in all of His fullness. That's what Paul desired. And as we think about it, what greater desire could there be? What greater thing to ask God than that those that we care deeply about would know God more fully, that they would be rooted and grounded in Christ's love? Wow. What more could we ask God for? We continue on, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look at verses 3 through 11 with me. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And so, Paul thanked God for the Philippians. And the Philippians were faithful believers. They stood true with Paul. They were there with him. They suffered with Paul. There was that fellowship in the gospel. And so Paul thanked God for what he could see in the Philippians' lives, how God was already working in their life, how God had answered prayers. But then Paul prayed that they would continue to grow, that their love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So yes, the Philippians, yes, they were doing well as far as love was concerned, but yet Paul prayed that their love would abound even more and more. See, there never comes a time whenever we've loved enough. There's never come a time when we've reached the mark of perfection when it comes to loving. Paul prayed for the Philippians that they would continue to love more and more, and that it would be in knowledge and all discernment. He says in verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. And so Paul prayed that the Philippians would continue to grow, that they'd be molded more into the image of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a huge challenge. And Paul would have exhorted them, continue to grow in the Lord. But what a challenge, what an encouragement though, to know that not only does Paul challenge you, but also he prays for you. You know, they have to go hand in hand. And no doubt the Philippians, as they saw Paul praying for them, the Philippians would have prayed for those that they knew as well, for the other churches. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So what did we just read? Does it sound familiar? Does it seem kind of repetitious as far as what Paul is praying for these believers? Paul here is praying. What is on his heart? Once again, he's praying unceasingly, okay? And he's praying unceasingly that they might grow spiritually, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they would walk worthy of the Lord, that they would be fully pleasing Him, that they would be fruitful in every good work, that they would increase in the knowledge of God, that they would be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. Wow. To think Paul was praying for them in such a way, and truly, as the Colossians would have read through that, realizing Paul the Apostle is praying for me in that way, wouldn't that just make your heart throb with the expectation? Well, Paul is praying that I might know God even more. And that would really make you want to press on to know God even more and more. Knowing that it's not just me that, you know, yes, I must desire to do that, but it's God that's working through me. And God will answer prayers as I grow spiritually. Wow. I hope that it's our desire, just like Paul. Yes, first of all, to know God. And Paul knew God. And Paul lived for God. And it just made sense for him to pray for his brothers and sisters in Christ that they too would know God and be living for Him all out. Wow. 1 Thessalonians, we want to turn there now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. 1 We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Paul is thankful for the Thessalonians. He was thankful for how he could see God working in their life, how they were living their faith out, how they were laboring in love, how they were enduring steadfastly because of their hope. And truly, as Paul could see these things playing out in their lives, he could say, yes, we know that you are chosen by God, that you're saved because you're living the fruits of righteousness. We come to 2 Thessalonians, writing to the same church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 'Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, so for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." Once again, Paul is thankful for the work of God in the believer's life, in the Thessalonians. And truly, Paul would have prayed for them, do these things in their life. And Paul rejoiced whenever he saw God answering prayers, the Thessalonians living for God as they should. And so we've looked at several passages here, many passages, and we've seen the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul. He was praying unceasingly that the believers might grow in their walk with the Lord, that they might know Him fully, that their love would abound. Wow. That's what Paul's heartbeat was. But also, lest we think Paul was kind of one-sided on spiritual things, which that's by and large what we see as far as what we have written in Scriptures. Spiritual matters, that was Paul's heartbeat. Okay, but we want to realize Paul didn't just pray for the churches. Okay, Paul also prayed for those who were lost. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Paul not only prayed for the churches, although that's the greatest amount of revelation that we have concerning his prayers, was for the churches, but also he prayed for the lost. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Now, we've looked at many prayers directed toward the churches, okay? But that doesn't mean that Paul just prayed for believers. Okay, we realize here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 very clearly, Paul prayed for the lost. Now there may not be numerous verses that say this, but clearly Paul's desire, the desire of his heart, was that Israel might be saved. And so Paul had a heart for those who were lost, and he prayed for them. And that only made sense because Paul was a preacher of the gospel. And he didn't just preach the gospel without praying for the salvation of souls. No, he prayed for the salvation of Israel, and he preached the gospel to them, praying that they might be saved. So Paul prayed for the lost, specifically for his countrymen according to the flesh, lost Israelites. He wanted them to be saved from the darkness of sin and hell. He wanted them to be transferred to the kingdom of light. Paul prayed for the lost. So we recognize Paul prayed for the churches, he prayed for the lost, but Paul also prayed for himself. We don't want to think that Paul was so spiritual he never prayed for himself, because that's not the case. No doubt he prayed for himself that he would continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, just like he prayed for others. But we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul prayed for his own physical needs. It wasn't below his dignity to pray for his aches and pains, for his ailments. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, this was something major in the life of Paul. Some physical ailment. We don't know specifically what it is. But as we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." And so Paul had some type of ailment. He doesn't say exactly what it is, but it was a thorn in the flesh. And Paul looked at this ailment, and he viewed it really as a distraction. He viewed it as something that was hindering him from doing God's work. He was thinking, "Lord, if you would just take that thorn in the flesh away from me, I could do so much more for you." And so Paul prayed to God once, "Take this thorn of flesh from me." And it didn't happen. He prayed twice. He prayed three times, "God, take this thorn of flesh from me." And what happened? God said, "I'm going to leave that thorn in your flesh, because there's a reason for it." Look at verses 9 and 10. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So this morning, we've seen a glimpse into the Apostle Paul's prayer life. We've seen, yes, he prayed for the lost. He prayed for himself. But by and large, we can see the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul. He prayed for others that they might grow in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wanted others to know, to come to know God just like he did. To know God in all of his goodness, and all of his love, all of his faithfulness, all of his glory. Paul wanted others to know God and to serve him wholeheartedly. He wanted them to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Yes, Paul had a healthy, balanced prayer life. Yet he prayed for spiritual needs, he prayed for physical needs, he prayed for the needs of the lost. But by and large, what was his emphasis as we see it in the Scriptures? It was a spiritual emphasis. We don't see scattered throughout his epistles a bunch of physical things that he was praying for as far as, you know, so-and-so is sick and so-and-so is having a hard time on the job. Although no doubt he probably would have prayed for some of those things. But what was Paul's heartbeat? It was that men and women may know God. That is absolutely essential. That must come number one. As far as knowing God, that we might be filled with His love and filled with the knowledge of how holy He is. That's what we need. That's what others need. Paul realized that. Because when someone is living spiritually, then they're more enabled, they're in a better place to face the hardships of life, to face the sickness, to face the distresses of the job. Paul prayed for their spiritual needs. That was first and foremost on his mind. That was what really was number one as far as those spiritual needs. And no doubt, Paul recognized, you know, God, you are great and you're glorious, and he praised him. Okay, but as far as requests, they were spiritual requests. That's what trumped all else as we look at the Scriptures. And so how does our prayer life compare with the prayer life of the Apostle Paul? Are we praying without ceasing? Are we praying always? Are we praying for one another? Okay, are we praying like that? And does our burden reflect Paul's burden? Are we always concerned with the physical things of life? Or are we concerned with the spiritual things of life? Recognize the physical things of this life, they're just passing. They're just a momentary blip on God's eternal plan. Okay, we need to be praying for spiritual things. That's where our heartbeat needs to be. Are we praying like that for one another? We've noticed before, God wants us to pray about whatever is on our heart. God doesn't want us to be worrying about anything. So we need to bring all of those requests to God. But what is our burden? Our burden must be that we and others are continually growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Are we praying boldly to God? Do a great work in my life. Do a great work in others' life so that we might be like Jesus Christ. Is that where our heartbeat is? May we pray like that. Pray that God would do a great spiritual work in our lives, in this church. May God praise His name, or may God's name be praised in a great way. Be glorified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that we'd have a heartbeat like the Apostle Paul. A heartbeat for spiritual growth. We realize that you are Almighty God. You are holy and you are loving. And you want us to have a thriving relationship with you. But all too often we forsake prayer. We forsake Bible study. And we're focused on all of the things of this life. And truly, you want us to pray about all things, but I pray that we'd have a burden for spiritual growth. And I pray that you would answer those prayers. I pray even for revival, that we'd have a renewed emphasis, a renewed longing to be living for you, to be more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning with 433. 433, sweet hour of prayer.
sing it. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. We're in a spiritual battle. The devil is and his demons is throwing all types of things at us. And you know what? If we aren't praying, if we don't have the full armor of God on, we're going to give in to those attacks. We think we can go out in the world and we can do just fine. But yet, if we're neglecting the spiritual aspect of our life, we're going to fall, and we're going to fall hard. Are we spending that time in the Word and in prayer to God? That's what we must do. We must do it for ourselves. We must do it for one another, praying that God would give us strength, that God would open our spiritual eyes so that we might be living for Him, knowing Him. Sweet hour of prayer. Let us pray for one another that we'd be strengthened with God's might, that we might know truly who God is. We might be filled with the knowledge of Him.
Let's sing the second verse then. Sweet hour. Father, we do pray this morning, and I pray that it would be the prayer of each and every one of us that, Father, we would be men and women of prayer. Lord, I don't think I or any of us truly understand what you can accomplish in our lives and in the lives of those around us if we truly were serious about resting and coming to you completely in prayer. Father, the way that it would change us would be incredible and unrecognizable. And Lord, I pray that we would think about, even on a Monday, with everything that goes on, Father, what we can sacrifice and take that time to spend time with you to pray. Father, that we realize that since you are our all in all, that you must come as a priority over watching TV or some other thing, Father, that we take the time to do. Lord, that in that way we can lay our bodies down as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And Lord, I pray that if we do, that at the end of that, you would get all the worship and honor and glory and praise that comes from it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.